Blog Talk Radio.
Because you're relying on me, shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again, give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Sister Shonda, and she's gonna experiment on a very famous word that you remember when Cole and I did that tape and lecture on what's in a word, Brother Drew.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
What's in a word? It's so many different meanings and so much knowledge in the word. Because see, we go back to what? In the beginning was the word. Let's stop right there. We ain't gonna put no in the word with God on there, but it's a comma there. In the beginning was the word. It is nothing that is in creation as we speak that isn't a word. It describes it. And the word observation is the first thing that when you are a warrior, you're taught. If you're a mason, you're taught. Observation comes with the word silence. That's the first thing that Grandpa taught us. Me, when I was 4 years old, keep silent. Because, see, the only way that you can hear is that you have to keep your damn mouth shut and you have to be silent, which is nothing but a form of meditation. Then when you hear that, you can hear, Grandpa would tell me to write down everything that I heard, meaning every call of the birds, what tree. He would ask me, was it the elm tree leaf, or was it the pine tree leaf, or the cedar tree, or the hickory tree leaf hit the ground? Because, see, if you real quiet in the wood, a leaf falling off the tree makes a hell of a noise, Brother Drew, and it's according to what tree is coming off of. The elm tree leaf, although it's dead, when it hit the ground, it makes a hell of a noise. But you can't hear this, not let you silent. And the only way that when you got this working for you, you have observation. You can only do this through observation, and that's the knowledge of your surroundings. So this is a deep lecture that Sister Shun is going to teach us today on. And even when you go to sniper school, the first thing that they tell you is stay alert, stay alive. Means you have to observe everything of your surrounding. Means observation, which is a skill, Brother Drew, that has to be taught to you. You don't learn this on your own, because it starts with silence. It starts with silence. And the baby starts in the womb. You learn two ways, hearing and seeing. The baby starts in the womb hearing. If you teach, you can teach your baby from the womb by reading books to it. But that knowledge of hearing starts in the womb. So this is a hell of a lecture on observation. And I turn it over to Sister Shunda. I just wanted to say that about this word that you've been to teach us on.
Well, thank you, Brother Dwyer, and greetings to you and Brother Drew and all of our listening audience. And thank you all for having me once again. And I just want to make a special note to those of you who are listening and those who will be listening, is that I will be here sharing some kind of information, some kind of talk with you every second Saturday of the month. So, you know, if you like what you hear, then, you know, just keep tuning in. Well, Brother Dwyer, I just want to say that, oh, man, you just took this to a whole nother level. You, like, you knocked my whole imagination open to another degree, because I really did not see the magnitude of which you just expressed. You went all the way into the womb of the mother, which is, you know, where what we call creation, where being created all over again comes into existence. But I just want to say a few things that you touched on, which is going to be a part of my talk today, is that you talked about silence. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about is silence is golden. So you brought some really, really powerful points. But you asked me what made me, why, you know, why this observation, this word. Well, in the understanding words, that every word is made up a compound of letters. Those letters either can stand upon themselves, or they use other words, which we call them compound words. In this case, observation is a compound word. But what my motivation, what has motivated me, is that I've noticed that many people lack common sense. And you get common sense through observation. It doesn't have to come through a book. It has to come through your observation. So because of that, I realized that the people are followers, they're fools, they're fakes, and they're frauds. And I said, wow, man, this is really something that just because we lack the ability to observe, we have lack of participation. We have lack of response, and we have lack of practice in our behavior of having an understanding of a teaching. So, and I noticed that because you and I have been now knowing each other for some time, And I noticed that even on this show that people do not call, I mean, they call in. You have a great listening audience, I want to say that. Your lines are always full. But the people don't respond. They're not participating. So what does that mean? That means that they are not in great observation, meaning that they're not observing, rather or not, they're getting a good understanding. So how do you get a good understanding if you're an observationist? The way you get a good understanding, you let the teacher or the person who is giving a talk know that you have a respond back. There's no respond back. So how do you respond back? Well, if you're an observationist, then you'll know that if you press 1 here on Blog Talk Radio, that means that you now want to participate. But our lacks have made me come to this word because something is going on and I want to know. So I'm today going to attempt to lay out some strategies that can help us all become better at observing things. And to do that, I know that I must start with the definition. So here we go. Now, I went to the Google, Miss Google, excuse me, that bitch knows everything. She got all of our minds messed up. So I went to the Google, and here's what she said. So it's easy to get, no matter what phone you're on, what computer, whatever kind of contraption you might be on. You can Google this definition. This is why I went to Google. No need to go to no old books anymore. You know, they almost becoming obsolete. So according to Google, the word observation, let me make sure I got the right one, because I'm going to also talk about, why don't I start with observe, because that's the base of the word. Observe, notice or perceive something and register it as being significant. So some synonyms that would represent observe are notice, see, note, perceive, discern, detect, spot. Now that's observe. Now observation, which is now it's an action word, here's what Google says. The action or process of observing something or someone carefully or in order to gain information. Some of the synonyms are monitoring, watching, scrutiny, explanation, inspection, survey, surveillance, consideration, study, review. So, these are very, very critical things. And, you know, who we see most often in practicing these right now are children, the child, as you mentioned. The child, what's the first thing? They are observing. They are listening. So this is very critical. Now, so in order for us to become better, we have to be teachable. Again, so I think that many people may refer to it become a child again or bring out the child inside of yourself so that you can open up your imagination and hear this word observation and see how you can implement it in your daily life to become a better being for yourself, because this is what it's about, oneself. Where is oneself in the observation? Are you a part of the lack of participation, lack of response, lack of daily practices? Are you a follower? Are you a fool? Are you a fake? Are you a fraud? You and I know these things of ourselves. But in order for us to take a really good note of that, that observation of ourselves, we must sit in silence. We must have an understanding of the power of silence. So that is the first thing that is necessary in observation. And Brother Dwyer, thank you for sharing that story. as your grandpa taught you in sniper school. You know, any kind of knowledge that you receive, you must be in silence in order to take it in. Because you have to use your senses, which is the next understanding of using your senses. What are those senses? What senses is it that you need to tap into that in order for you to get the fullness of this lesson? Well, you already cited those two, Brother Dwyer, so let me just talk about those. Well, one, your sight, your eyes, they are a part of the observation process. What you see is bringing into your entire being, into all of your over 70 trillion cells, into your body, into the nervous system, into all of your aspects of who you are. Your eyes tell a story. How people say you can see, you know, the mirror, the eyes are the mirror of the soul. So that eyes are very, very important. So sight, hearing, this is critical, because in the womb, that's where the baby is taking in its lesson. So as Brother Dwyer was saying, that you could teach your baby in the womb. Why? Because the sound is resonating. You know, what are we being ruled by right now? Many people are being ruled by the sound of music. Rather, that is in the clubhouse, the church house, whatever house it might be. Rather, it's on the radio, the internet, it doesn't matter. We all are in the commercials, we all are being bombarded with sound. So you're hearing, you must take note of what is coming into your ears. Smell, out there in the fresh air, hearing the sound of a leaf fall, smelling the dirt. Because that's critical to understanding the place of which you are, so that you'll be able to be in tune if something comes up with a strong odor. You have to have observation, awareness this day, and to have a full understanding that we must awaken ourselves. And the other sense of taste in the mouth, what you put into your mouth, we got different flavors that we need in our mouths. And I can tell you one thing. I noticed that one thing that people don't want anymore, Brother Dwyer, and that is the bitter. They don't want to take bitter things. But bitter things keep you healthy. Those nasty things that our grandparents used to take.
Well, you know, we used to use Aragon. I came to Aragon bitters for indigestion. If when you went to the bar and you was having, you said, "Give me some bitters and club soda," and that was better than Alka-Seltzer. And that, you're absolutely right, that your body needs bitters.
And we don't have that, because people don't like bitter talk, because it's straightforward and to the point, and it sometimes is so truthful until it hurts. So they don't want that. They don't take bitter foods. How do we know? Because we're addicted to the other ones. We're addicted to the sweet, the sour, and the salt. We're not getting the bitters in our system. So we must bring in bitter. So be in observance of yourself. What are you consuming? What are you bringing into your taste buds? And what are the effects that they're having on your taste buds? So you have to have sweet, salt, bitter, and sour. All of these are critical to our existence. And then the other sense of touch. Ooh, so very important. Important to us all. And that's where the loneliness comes in, when people allow loneliness to come in. Well, now you're not touching yourself, and now you don't have nobody else touching you. Touch is critical. Touch is powerful. Touch can magnify you. I mean, they got stories of people talking about the healing in the hands. You know, the touch is powerful. They got stories about people saying that they can raise the dead. But do you know, you see what I'm saying? That the power of the hands is magnificent. And how about the clapping of the hands? you know, the power. You need to understand that. So all of these senses are important that we utilize, understand, and we put them into practice in order for us to enlighten and to heighten our observation skills. Brother Dwyer, is there anything that you would like to say before I go forward?
No, you're doing a great job. You're taking in the first law of nature, which is vibration, and everything is vibrating. I mean, the first law of nature, and then when your second law is the laws of opposites. These are things that you have to understand. But observation is a skill. You have to be taught this. And one other thing that you said, I learned this through being raised on a college campus and coming from a highly educated family, but I learned common sense from great-great-grandpa who couldn't read or write, and his teaching and what my other two grandmothers taught me and what my aunties and uncles that didn't have all of these college degrees or nothing, common sense come from uneducated people. Educated people can't teach you common sense. Common sense, and common sense is taught to you. You have to be taught common sense. This is a skill. But because we are so lacking in common sense, we'll look at the world that we live in right now, which is called an age and the era and the time period that we live in versus when we was around people that had common sense. I mean, people that's born after 1970, you can clearly see through observation that they don't have common sense. These are your children and grandchildren. That you're looking at them. And don't be in denial when you see him. He's your favorite grandson, but he ain't as crazy as a Betsy bug. I mean, you have to see, but he's that way because you didn't teach him. We lost a lot when we integrated, and this is one of the observations. See, all you got to do is observe, sit back and look, and get on. Do like Big Mama told. Big Mama told me to get on the bus. She hadn't rode the bus in a long time, and Uncle Bubba took her in Houston, and she rode on the bus, and she said that through riding on the bus, she observed some very weird people. Well, when I rode on the bus and the train and up here in the mall, as I see people where I play chess, there's some weird people in the world as we speak today, weirder than what we was when you and I was children. And our grandchildren got to be around these weird people. I mean, it's just a teaching. This word is very powerful. I had never thought about it. And you use another word, imagination. That's a compound word. See, image and nation. You see, where we was taught, where I was taught, that Amun-Yah created us on a drawing board, and it started in your imagination, which that's a convert. You created an image, a nation of people in your image, meaning that your grandchildren that you got, that's your nation of people. You create him in your image that comes out of your imagination of how they should be. And so you have to, through observation, you have to have common sense to do that. See, I was taught music. I was taught the skills of the woods. I was taught all of this. That was in my parents and my forefathers and my ancestors' imagination of how to teach you. Same way with you, Shana. You learn home economics. You learn this. You learn that from your parents because that was innate. They was creating you in their image of who they were. I mean, those are powerful words that has a lot of meaning in it. But this, I had never thought, Cole, I got to tell Cole about this word, because this word you come up with, sister, is bad. So keep on rocking with me. Let me teach you. Because you know you got me flying with this word. I'm going to get Cohane on this word.
Well, okay, so I've talked about 2 points right now in a strategy for developing better observation skills. So number one was to realize that silence is golden, so you have to become silent. Number two is to understand your 5 senses and to be aware, to use them, to practice them, and to know which ones are lacking. Be honest with yourself, but you cannot be honest if you can't sit in silence with yourself. And how do you do that silence? I'm going to come back to that, but I want to come back to number three because I don't want to lose the time. Number three is you have to evaluate things through the 5 W's and the 1 H. And what are those 5 W's? I know that you've heard them over and over again. So you have to know who, what, where, when, and why. This is critical to being able to understand where we are with ourselves, because the thing that I want to do is to point us to self, because if you cannot evaluate yourself, you're not going to be able to evaluate anything else, because you yourself have to be true to you. If you can be true to you, then you can look outside of yourself and you can see truth. That's how the observation process can work. Now, whether or not you want to live that truth, that's totally different. I mean, we know people who speak of ways of life, for example, vegetarianism or veganism. People speak of these things because they understand how important they are, but it's not a choice that they're making to live that life. And so you can do that. We have the ability to do that. That's how powerful we are, but only if we could take time with ourselves and realize the value, and you only could do that through observation. So the 5 W's are very, very critical in looking at anything that you do in life, and that's because you can see those from so many different angles. Like, for example, who are you? This is a very common question that people ask. But who are you? If I ask you that question, Brother Dwyer, who are you? This is a question, so that, you know, give me a response back. And the audience, give us a response back. You don't have to call in or press 1 right now, but participate with us online. Tell us about, you know, who are you? Who do you think you are? Can we help you discover who you want to be, or are you still ever evolving into who are you? You must observe what you do in order to know, and that's another part of it. What do you do? Most people think they are their work, but are you really your work? What else are you outside of your work? What have you done for people to know who you are, or what is it that you don't want to do, or what is it that you do want to do? Back to that question, Brother Dwyer, who are you?
Well, now, you know me. I go all the way back to the first, the beginning of a molecule that turned into an atom. And after turning at 1,033 1/3 miles per hour, I came into existence, into a being. And this is how you was made, up under the first law of nature. When I came into being a being, well, then I had 5 forms of consciousness. I was subconscious when I was born. That means I was alive. I was alive physically. Once you become alive physically, you come up under a dual system. So I'm alive physically, but mentally, I'm not alive. For me to be alive mentally is that I have to be taught a mind, which is a school of thoughts. I mean, that's who I am. I'm the same as everybody. I'm the greatest person in the world. Nobody made like me. I'm my own nature. It is not but one of me. Nobody got my eye print, toe print, fingerprint, toe print. You can't be me and I can't be you. You're the greatest person that ever lived. It's just one of you. You are individual. And what's so killing about it? You're the greatest individual in the world. Because when you do come into existence, that means that out of 777 trillion, quadrillion seeds, you hid for 14 days to become a being. And once you are born, you're the greatest of all those billions of seeds. You're the most powerful one of them. You was the strongest one. You was the one that the female didn't flush. You hid, meaning that you're the most powerful person in the world. But this comes through a school of thoughts, and you got to be taught this. Common sense, this is what I was taught. I was
back
taught this by my great-grandfather. Right,
yeah,
through observation. Yeah,
absolutely,
I mean,
yes.
And so all you got to do is to see through observation. Let me just say this, why it's on my mind. Through observation, for 140 years, you should know that praying to Jesus ain't going to help you. Voting Democratic or Republic ain't going to help you. Through observation, you should see if this is failing, then your ass need to go sit down at a drawing board and a table and revise what you think. Through just strict observation, you should understand that what you're living in now, this system, ain't working for nobody look like us. And you got doctor's degrees in this system. Ever since, that's another subject, but ever since you become a goddamn African-American in 1960, 58 years ago, look at your State of the Union from when you was Negroes that was colored people. Because the person that said that he was no longer a Negro, that was a colored people, didn't know what the damn hell he was talking about, and said he was an African-American, black and proud, Jesus first, Democratic Party first. His ass still lives. And here you got people with doctor's degrees saying that they African-American, you don't even know who the first one was in the United States. See, when you was a Negro, that means white folks had renamed the Creek Nation of people, who they call Indians, and they call you the 72 uncivilized tribe, and only five of y'all, the tribes that was in our nation of people were civilized, those were the ones they enslaved.
Well,
see, when you don't know your history.
Exactly, you know, and I want to just say that. See, that's right, exactly. This is the power of observation. I mean, but some of the things that we can observe doesn't have to come through a book. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about things that we have lived through right now in our lifetime. Well, let me tell you, since we're just, my point was going to come back to, you said some really powerful things. I'm going to tie it into what I'm saying. When you look at those five W's to define yourself, then what most people have in their mind is that's where you find your purpose, which is true. But it's your purpose that has been tricked. That's where the trick comes in. What is your purpose? In observation of nature, we can see our purpose. It's there. It's clear. It's clear how other beings in nature interact with one another, interact with the earth, interact with their daily practices. It's clear. But for us, because we have been sold some stories about our purpose here on earth, that, you know, we're supposed to be these fantastic God beings, and we're only beings on the planet that we know of, that we could be in observation of. If we watch any of the animals, any of the sea life, we'll see that they're all on their purpose. They're crystal clear about their purpose. They don't have a book. They don't have a cell phone. They're just clear about their purpose because they go in their way. But we have lost our way of purpose because we've lost our ability to observe creation that is outside of us, for we are a mirror of one another, because we have been, you know, we're in the storybooks now. And so as you talked about being off the mark, just even since becoming an African American, people have been giving us this grand purpose. But what is the purpose of the female? What is the purpose of the male? It's to, you know, what is that? I don't have your answer, but my answer is to be. We have to multiply. Now we're becoming extinct. So we're off of the regular natural purpose of life. We want to be Hollywood stars. We want to be, you know, rich and famous. We want to be all of these things that take you off of your purpose. We want to be masters in all types of degrees. But what is our purpose? But you can't realize that if you have no observation of what's happening in nature, because nature shows us the way. It shows us, how can you know that you were a molecule? How can you know that you were an atom? How could you know how many miles you had to travel? How do you know this? Only through observation. How do you know that a mother really carries a baby 9 months? Only through observation. It's not really 9 months. But how do you know these things? How do we know that our children right now are crazy in their behavior? How do we know? In observation. We don't have to have nobody to tell us that the children are acting crazy. We see it ourselves as we take a bus ride. I tell you, you don't want to take a bus ride in Chicago if you haven't been there on the bus ride. Don't go by yourself anyway. You might be in shock. And then so outside of the five W's, you got the H. How? How did we become? How did we become in this situation? How did you become in your situation? How did I become in my situation? What situation is that? Fill in the blank. It could be any situation, good or bad. But do you have the ability to observe the good so that you can continue to duplicate the good results and improve upon those good results? Or it could be bad, that do you have the ability to observe the bad results so that you can make an improvement on those results and that you do not duplicate the same results over and over again, which is a clear sign of not having understanding. It's a clear sign that you may be suffering from some form of stupidity if you keep doing the same thing. It's a clear sign that you may be addicted to some force or behavior if you continue to do the same thing. But the only way that you can change that on either side of the coin is that you must come back to silence. You must learn to relax and meditate. They are good for the soul. They will help you to calm your body chakras so that you can sit in calmness and hear the wind, that you can sit in calmness to hear all of the rampant thoughts that are running through your mind. You can sit in silence so that you can weigh in on decisions that you need to make, that they shouldn't always be in haste. The old people say, haste, make waste. So if you sit for a moment, you can save some of the waste. So has to become a practice. But when you make it a practice for yourself, then you will reach what is called self-arrival. You've arrived to some understanding of how you function, on your spiritual level, whether who's guiding you spiritually. Are you guiding yourself, somebody outside of you? Are you being guided by a belief factor that has been taught, as Brother Dwyer say, and I say this to all religions, that the gods, Allah, Confucius, whoever you might believe in, well, they surely are not powerful enough to stop bullets. They surely are not powerful enough to stop bombs. So I want to know really who they are, because if we are to dedicate our dying lives to all of these gods, then they need to stand for the test of time. And everywhere that I have looked in history, I see that the gods all have blood dripping from their swords. So what is your spiritual belief? Have you dug deep enough in your own self to really know who you are? So that's very good when you become a part of the observation category of yourself, that you have self-arrived. And then you will have self-realization, because you will realize that a lot of shit you've been believing is a fake and a fraud.
Sister Sonia.
Yes.
Through observation, that over a period of time of observing, when you study with the five W's, the one H, in a chronological order, using ethnology, then you find some truths that you never realized was there. Because once you study in that order, then you will see that when a nation of people first start becoming a nation of people, they get first signs, symbols, and numbers. And these signs, symbols, and numbers become a language. And then the next thing that each nation of people get, they vote and say who they God gonna be. So when your mind has got to realize through this study that God was created by man, which called himself a nation of people, and God did not create you. You created him. White folks did this. So when you off into they mindset, and everything is mind, meaning telepathic. If we talk about a male energy, telepathic, that's not female, that's male. You got nine senses. Telepathic is one of the senses, but it's male. You can't see it. You feel it. Through common sense, tell you this. You are able to see this when you observe and you study like this, in that order that I just put it. And then when you find out what system that you've been put up under, which is Scottish Rite Masons, you've got a great seal of the United States tell us that, then you know that if you put it under that system, it's called a system of the three Ruffins, which is the three auras. Well, the first thing they teach you in school is the three auras and your ABCs. So through observation and studying with the five W's and the one H, then you see everything that's done happen because it's in a goddamn chronological order, meaning what was number one. And anything after number one is a revised version of the truth. Truth no more. It becomes a sect, a S-E-C-T. What's in a word? What is a S-E-C-T? It's somebody that done broke away from the main group, meaning that some people in 1960 broke away from the Negroes that was colored people and started a sect called African American. And it's this 2018. You see how the sect has grown in numbers till they got people with doctor's degrees and summa cum laude and magna cum laude. They'll say they're African Americans, but they don't know who the first one was and how they became an African American.
Brother Dwyer, I just want to add to what you're saying real quick, back to about that word and being in that word observation and the common sense. Well, one is, yes, they have doctorate degrees. Institution does not teach common sense. And so that's why we're you express where you got your common sense from. Institutional, they cannot have you to think have common sense because it's in direct contradiction to what they teach because it asks questions. And as we already know that, you know, once you start to ask questions, now you are creating a whole new school of thought. And what was his name who asked the question?
Dialogue. Right. Yeah, see, that was the first school of thought. They had 12 schools of thought in ancient Greece. The first one to kill off was dialogue. Because, see, all we got to do, Sister Sonia, is asked us of what question, and we answer. We can ask ourselves a question like this: what is the two types of knowledge? Then we go Google it, look in a dictionary, and you'll see there is two types of knowledge: esoteric, exoteric. Stop. That explains everything that you see. So because which knowledge is you got your doctor's degree in with a magna cum laude, summa cum laude, is damn sure not eso, it's exo. And when it becomes exo, then that means it becomes up under the three auras, which is the Scottish Rite Masons, which is the great seal of the Anglo-Saxon who renamed himself May the 1st, 1776, American. And the first American was John Hancock, which you got a whole bunch of them right now.
And so what in that word itself is where the spell takes place, is because, you know, you have to even like you were talking about how you all would break what's in a word. What's in the word of observation? Well, you can't teach people to observe themselves or outside of what the institutions are teaching them because of the contradiction. And once you are in that train of thought, then you have to become under that belief factor. And in order for you to maintain yourself in that belief factor, you have to participate and practice it. That's why people do ritual things. You go to church on Sunday. You go to Bible study. You go to the mosque on Friday to pray. You know, you go to on Sunday to hear. So, you know, you go to all of these different ritual type things because therein is where the practice comes in. So you observing that life. Style. What we're asking you to do today is to observe yourself, where you are in that process. Are you stuck in that process? Do you want to see something different outside of that process? Then if you do, you can use this process to evaluate how you live your life in either side of those knowledges. Which one are you? Where are you now, and do you want to know about the other side? You just might just be curious, you know, and wanting to know what the other half of the knowledge is and how it could reflect in your life. So that's where self-realization comes in. Really, who are you? Really, because when you think that you're this world, then I tell you, Brother Dwyer, I went to a home-going celebration. My aunt passed away, so I went to Houston Wednesday. And the minister there had asked this question. Well, no, he said there was a survey. I don't know the name of the survey, so please forgive me for not having this knowledge, but I think you'll be able to understand what where it's coming from. Is that a group of people were asked the question, if you saw God face to face, what would be your question? And the majority of people in this survey said they were asked God, what is their purpose? So that means that they are not in observation of themselves if you have to ask somebody outside of yourself, what is your purpose? And especially if you have to ask a dead God who supposedly created you, what is your purpose? Maybe your purpose is supposed to be you should be dead. He dead. You should die. Maybe. I don't know. I'm saying it just don't make sense to me. But and I'm not trying to be. Well, I am being facetious. But so please forgive me. I don't. I shouldn't have said that publicly, but I did. anyway, because I think that is if you observe long enough, then you will understand that. Like our young people are crying out and saying that, you know, like, when is this? Jesus has been coming for a long time, and he hasn't gotten here, and they catching hell. They catching hell because one is that we turned over our birthrights and we gave over our children when we integrated in with people. And so, therefore, you still have our children. Children are right now here in this country have the worst birth rate than any third world country. And so you know that our children are the first ones to go. So this reminds me of the Yaqub type theory that was practiced, you know, or that was taught by the Nation of Islam through Elijah Muhammad, which was that they would take the dark babies and they'd stick pins in their brains to kill those babies, and, you know, and they'll keep all of the light babies. Well, right now, a mother is about 85% likely to lose her baby in birth at a hospital. So that's a very scary number. So if you are an observant of what is happening to us as a people, for every one child that is being born, three of them are being aborted, then if you are an observation, then you will realize that from birth we are, if you do the numbers, then now we're putting ourselves in the position to become extinct because no one can last with that kind of assault on their birthing process. So self-realization is very, very important, Brother Dwyer. Well,
yeah, you know, we did a show on Do You Know Yourself. Remember we did the book with the endocrine system? We asked,
yes.
You know, people, you don't know. People's first thing come out a person's mouth is, I know myself. And then if you ask them, how many systems do your body have, you don't know. And then tell you, what is the system? What is the functions of the system? What is the most important system in your body? You ask the person that, they can't tell you, but they'll tell you they know self. Quit lying to yourself that you know yourself and study and understand how you made. Then you, when you understand who you are and how you are made, then you won't kill yourself because you'll know that you have a dietary law that you have to go by. See, if you know yourself, you wouldn't kill yourself. And when you know yourself, you know that it's a dietary law that I have to do for this machine that I'm that you are, this computer. I mean, it's, everything
right.
is dealing with your dietary laws. But
and that's
go ahead
and
on,
that's through all right. Well, and that's through
observation.
So I know that we have come to our time, and I hope that I was able to make some kind of impact on you all today with this talk, and I delivered it to a degree that will be able to put you in a more powerful position of being an observation of oneself. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Facebook as Shonda M. Parks on Facebook, and you can send me an email at Shonda, Shonda, Parks, Parks, 120@gmail.com. Brother Drew, Brother Dwyer, thank you all so very kindly for allowing me to come and share today.
All right, thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And I say, Shema Yahavada, Yah Abinya Ika Kamadiya. Until next week, Brother Drew.
Kamadiya.
Peace and love.